You are listening to Making Bank, where we uncover the mindset and success strategies of the top 1% so you can amplify your life and your business.
Welcome to Making Bank. I am Josh Felber, where we uncover the mindset and the success strategies of the top 1% so you can amplify your life and your business today. I'm super excited for today's guest. He's a New York Times bestseller, a public speaker, social media strategist, futurist, eternal 12-year-old, brand influencer, and keynote public speaker. He has a really cool new side project based around cryptocurrency called the Bad Crypto Podcast. Cool.
Nailed it.
I want to welcome Joel Kamm to Making Bank. Welcome, man.
How's it going,
Appreciate
brother?
It. Thanks for coming in, and awesome to be able to have you here and really pick your brain today. And we're going to deliver some awesome insights and nuggets to our audience to hopefully transform their business and what they're doing today.
I am 12 years old, by the way.
That's awesome. That's true. I feel it, too.
I don't look it, but I sure do act it most of the time.
Voice is a little deeper.
I've got this whole grown-up thing down, or adulting thing down, but the grown-up thing, that's just never going to happen.
Just kind of goes by. Yeah.
Adulting I can manage. Growing up, that's for somebody else.
Awesome. Well, kind of give us maybe a quick highlight of your background, kind of got you where you are today, for maybe that little tiny percentage of the audience out there in the world that doesn't know who you are.
I think there's probably more people that don't know than you would think. It's always so funny. Perception is reality, right?
For sure.
And if the people who know you, then they think that everybody knows you. But, you know, I can walk the streets of Denver pretty much most of the time, and people don't stop and go, hey.
You don't have to wear the hat and
sunglasses. No, yeah, which is great. I can't imagine that kind of fame. I think people dream of that.
Sure.
Some dream of that kind of fame, but the reality of it has got to be that you sacrifice your privacy.
Yeah.
I like my privacy. I like showing up and delivering value and, you know, events like the one we're at right now.
Right.
But then I also like to go disappear into my own little space and, like, leave me alone. I need me time.
For sure.
You know, there's video games to play. I need quiet to do that.
That's awesome. Well, and what's funny is nobody recognizes who I am. And yesterday when I was going down the elevator, this girl goes, wait a minute, I know you. I'm like, you do? From where?
It's a wanted poster. The poster.
I kind of made a joke. Like, she's like, no. I always see you on Twitter and Facebook with your videos. And I'm like, oh, super cool. I don't know which ones you're talking about. And she's like confused, but it was just kind of funny because I never really had anybody say that.
Yeah, but if you want to mess with people, you go. I know people say that all the time. I look like that guy. It's not me.
It's the hair.
Yeah.
Well, awesome. Tell me a little bit about so.
You did ask me a question. You asked about my background.
Oh, yeah, I did, yes. Right. I thought I did. I'm like, wait a minute. I know we started to talk about something, and then it didn't quite go down that right path.
I am the best worst interview because, like, you'll ask me something, and we'll, like, rabbit trail off of you just because it sounds like fun. But I've been doing marketing online for 23 years now.
Wow.
You know, I was building websites back in 1995.
Sure.
And the 12-year-old part of me is that part that is curious. I like to play. Yeah. I like the tech. I'm a nerd. You know, the geek shall inherit the earth. It's so true. The eternal 12-year-old is that part of me that is just curious, and I'm nerdy and geeky, and I like to play with the toys. You know, people will ask me, how do you manage to see the next big thing before it's the next big thing?
Because
that's kind of been my track record.
And for sure.
You know what? I'm really not that smart. It's that I see the bright, shiny objects, and I'm like, oh, that's cool. Let's play with that. You know, so 95, I wanted to build a website because I'm like, this is going to be the future.
Pretty cool, yeah.
But so I built a site, and I didn't know that was going to turn into project after project, you know, that would be successful. And a lot of failures, too. Don't get me wrong. There's plenty of those. There's more failures than successes.
Sure.
You know, Babe Ruth, step up to the plate, swing the bat, you're going for, you know, the home run.
That's right.
It means you're going to whiff a bunch of times. But I sold a site to Yahoo. In 1998,
Wow.
It was
awesome.
MyClassicGames.com is one of the first multiplayer game sites, and Yahoo bought it. It became Yahoo Games, and so those who played on Yahoo Games, you had little avatars that you can pick from, and one of them was a guy with a red cap, glasses, and a goatee, and that little cartoon, they find out that was me. And they think that's funny. And, you know, I rode the internet boom up the first time. I rode the bus down. I developed one of the first coupon sites that was on the web.
Oh, wow. Okay.
DealOfDay.com.
Okay, yeah.
And I sold that in 2012. I wrote the book on Google AdSense. I had a hit with my ebook and turned it into a traditionally published book that I was fortunate enough it hit the New York Times list.
Right.
I still don't know how that happened, but it did, and I'm grateful. Because once you're a New York Times bestseller, you're always a New York Times bestseller.
That's right, yeah.
Like, I'm taking that to my grave if I do nothing else. Yeah, once you're about a time, I wrote a book that a lot of people bought. And then I rode the social media, you know, wave. I saw the value of social media, got on Twitter early, and was asked to write a book on that, Twitter Power, right. Which is one of the top books in a series in the world on Twitter. Developed an iPhone app in 2008 that made a bit of a stink. You don't know.
No, that one I don't know.
You don't know.
I don't
he
know.
He doesn't know.
Tell me.
I'm going to tell you. I'm going to show you. And then you'll get the pun. So this app actually, in December of 2008, this app set off a trend for novelty apps in the App Store, and it actually went to number one in the world. And for those of you wondering what it is the world-famous iPhone. See, they knew.
That's
they
awesome.
Knew. They were. They were. They had the inside joke on this.
That's our camera guy.
Oh, it wasn't me. So the app went to number one, and we're actually coming up on the 10th anniversary, and it still sells.
Wow.
Every month. It's hilarious. Got all kinds of media coverage. Got me on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. And since that time, I've played in a number of other arenas, and now I am, you know, you said a side project, and we could talk about it a little later.
For sure,
but
yeah.
It's actually not a side project. The Bad Crypto Podcast is becoming my main focus.
Oh, wow.
My entire career has pivoted because of cryptocurrency and going down the rabbit hole in this show, but we can visit that one.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, I definitely want to dive into it. I have a lot of friends that are all parts of it, doing different pieces and stuff. And I mean, owning some crypto and stuff like that. So, all right, cool. I want to pick your brain on it to see where it's going, what we, you know, how to position ourselves and everything else. But kind of want to dive in a little bit about some marketing tactics, where you're seeing kind of from a marketing standpoint, where things are heading, how entrepreneurs out there that have their online businesses, how they can really start to take some of that new technology. I mean, whether it's video content, whether it's some new platforms coming out, and really accelerate their businesses.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of live video. I've been streaming live video since 2008 when Ustream.tv was one of the first services.
Yeah, sure.
But back then, you had to have a really robust computer to handle the processing of streaming live video. You had to have some serious bandwidth.
But, you know, and back then, there wasn't a ton.
We had a T1 line running into my office. And, you know, you had to have the software and skills to be able to put this together. And so we did a weekly show, and Ustream allowed people to comment. And so we had a monitor in front of us, and we would do that. Well, you know, that was really challenging for a lot of people to be able to produce quality content. But that all changed in 2015 when we had the perfect storm of live video. Everybody had mobile devices.
Right.
There was easy to use apps like Meerkat
was one of
the first ones. And we had the bandwidth that you could do live video even over a 4G or an LTE.
Right.
You know, cellular signal. And so all of a sudden the doors opened up, and now it's got more sophisticated. We've got Facebook Live, we've got Periscope, aka Twitter Live, YouTube Live. And live video was really the most significant development in social media since the invention of the smartphone.
Right.
Because anybody can turn on their device, be anywhere, and share their story
with
the world.
For sure. And I know I've been there with you. I mean, we've kind of gone through that same process. I mean, recently we just upgraded all of our Macs. You know, now we have Pros because, you know, being able to keep up with the speed of the processing and fiber optic now. It's, you know, that you're able to push out and do for a tenth of the price of a T1.
Absolutely.
And so,
what's a T1?
Yeah, right. What is that? We just hook a little thing in and we're good to go now. But I mean, just the ability to go live and tell your story and what you have going on is just amazing. And you know, a lot of people get scared. They don't want to go in front of video. I mean, 3 years ago when I first started this, I was just like, man, I don't want to be on video. My mom took pictures of me all the time when I was little. I don't want to be in front of a camera.
You're not even sweating now.
I used to all the time. no, but, you know, and I think with the ability where we have to go now with it, and one of the people I've talked to before, they've had great success with 17-second sound bites, for example. and they've been blowing up the Marvel for Monsters kind of, you know, whole thing using those small sound bites. Mm. And so some people may think when they're watching video, they have to go on for a long time. But now with the shorter attention spans and being able to create content in small amounts and push those out there, I think people are able to, anybody should be able to do video and find good success with it.
Well, I think so, but you know, people worry too much about how they're gonna show up on camera. You know, you have a set here, and it's nice, you got this nice, you know, backdrop here, and we got our suits on, all that. But the truth is, there's really only two things you need to be concerned with live video, that you're being real, authentic.
Sure.
We can smell fakery a mile away, and yet there's a lot of people that are still pretending. They're trying to appear to be something other than who they are.
Right.
And that sells to some people.
Sure.
But for, you get a little more seasoned and you kind of see fakery pretty easily. So authenticity and value. Everybody's got something to say.
Okay.
And live video is not rocket science. You know, if a housewife from Grand Prairie, Texas can hop into her SUV, put on a Chewbacca mask, and share a 4-minute video that makes the whole world laugh, Candace Payne.
Sure.
Then, look, she didn't take time to do hair and makeup. She didn't have a script. She didn't have a set. She just went live.
Right.
And became one of the most famous people known, you know, got on Today's Show, Good Morning America, all these shows, just because of that moment that connected with people. Mm. So, you know, with live video, you could teach people.
Right.
You can inspire people.
Sure.
You know, so teaching, we speak to the head. Inspiring, we speak to the heart.
Right.
We can entertain people, you know. Maybe you can sing and dance. Maybe you can play guitar. Maybe you can tell jokes. Maybe you can do illusions.
Sure.
Or maybe you're just a funny, you know, person, an entertaining person to watch. But if what you're doing doesn't fit intuitively into one of those categories, then experiential videos are the low-hanging fruit.
Okay.
And that's as simple as showing people where you are, who you're with, and what you're doing.
Right.
That's it. It's basically living your life, but showing other people what's
on
taking
video.
Place.
Right.
If you think it's interesting enough to show people, then odds are people that are connected to you or want to be will find it interesting as well.
And that's very true. I was having a great conversation last night, and a couple of people I was talking to, they're like, man, I love watching your Instagrams because you're doing this. And, you know, I did a 5-day water fast a few months ago, and they're like, oh, it was so cool. It felt like I was following it with you. And I'm like, oh, well, cool. Thanks, man. I'm sorry I kind of bailed out on the last day because I'm not recording and stuff. But you don't, sometimes you don't realize it and the connection that people are making with what you're putting out there.
Yeah.
And you just, I think sometimes you just have to go do it. But I think video is a huge push. But also, too, is that audio. So I think a lot of people, you know, if you can't, don't feel that or that nervousness of being in front of the camera, being able to record the audio now with Amazon Alexa and some of these other places and iHeartRadio and Spotify that you can now push your voice out to.
Sure, absolutely. And there's a Facebook Live that's just audio only.
Audio only, too,
so
correct.
There's all kinds of ways to do that. But I want to address something that you said there. People who are afraid to do it. Okay, I'm going to say something that's going to sound a little bit harsh, but then I'm going to give you the why and it's going to make sense. And I'm going to look at the camera and tell those people who are afraid what they need to know now.
For sure.
Get over it. It's not about you. See, people seem to think that if they're going live, that the reason we get all nervous, we get in our head and think, oh, what if I look like this? Or what if I stammer on my words?
Sure.
Or what if they don't like me? Or what if they think this or that? If that is the reason you're going live, then you're going live for the wrong reasons. The reason to go live and to produce any content is not to make yourself look good. It's to bring value to the people who are going to listen.
Right.
Right? And so when we take our focus off of ourselves and go, wait, this isn't about me. This is about the people out there who can stand to benefit, who can learn something, whose hearts can be uplifted, whose lives can be changed, who I could make laugh or cry. You know, and make a difference in their lives. It's about them who are watching. This isn't about you and me.
No, I'm
not here to entertain you or for you to entertain me.
Right.
We're here because we want to bring value to people. And so anybody that, you know, I understand being frightened. I used to have stage fright. Believe it or not, I was a DJ, and there was a time that getting up on stage terrified me. Like, imagine your worst nightmare. If you're one of those people that the thought of public speaking makes you want to run, not just from the room, but from the state you know, that you're in. I was that guy. And I learned to push through and go, wait, this isn't about me and my fears. This is about the gifts that I've been given, which are given to us, and we all have them.
Sure.
We all have gifts. They're given to us so that we can let others unwrap
and have the gifts
and have something to to give something, to inculcate into their lives. That's a $10 word right there. I paid $10 for it. You owe me 10 bucks because I used it.
Is it trademarked?
Every time I use it, inculcate. It's about the people watching. So I hope that that helps somebody to get past that, because you don't want to let your value be hidden. You got something to say, and you want to take the, you know, open that box and let it out into the world.
And no, I think that's 100% true. I mean, I know even when I first started the show, it was, go on, and I kept thinking about myself. Like, oh, this maybe I'm not saying it right. It's not coming across right. My jacket and wire are not right.
And maybe you're not. And maybe it's not.
Right.
But try.
It doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
And like you said, it's this, it's how can I get some really cool information from you to help give to everyone else out there that will help transform their life, to maybe transform their business, you know, make big changes in what they're doing, maybe even make a little change. And help move them forward in what they're doing, for sure.
You know what scares me? When I see somebody that appears perfect on the camera, my BS detector goes because I know they are trying to present something so perfect that nobody can attain that. And my first question is, what are you hiding?
Right.
I'm very suspicious of you. So when I see these guys showing off their Lambos and their big houses and their swimming pools, I'm like, you are just selling. Yeah. Why don't you tell us the truth about what that's like, what you went through to have that, how many times you failed, or is that thing rented? Right?
Right. Oh, yeah,
you know?
For sure.
And what kind of problems are you now dealing with because you have accumulated all this stuff that you thought would bring you happiness, and now you're selling this package to somebody else because that's what they think they want.
Right.
I have no room for shenanigans like that.
Sure. No, I'm with you. I don't ever have anything posted like that on my feed, and it's all about content and, you know, value for other people.
I didn't know he drives a Ferrari. I mean, you know, there's nothing wrong, by the way, with having nice things.
Sure. No. Yeah. Definitely. We're not saying that.
I'm saying that people who are selling this perfect image of what the ideal life looks like are full of it.
Right.
Because it doesn't look like that.
Cool.
Only on the surface.
So we got video content. So we're getting out there, being authentic, creating value, having that right video, you know, getting that video content out there, just doing it, taking action, moving forward.
And don't BS people.
Yes. Photos, you know, fake stuff and everything else. Be real, be authentic, be you. Moving forward, I know we got a little bit of time left. What would be one more really cool kind of marketing tactic that you kind of see the trend moving towards that you say, hey guys, this is where 2019 is going to be, and this is kind of where you need to be headed?
You know, we are such a digital world now that a lot of people have forgotten the physical.
Right.
Right. Okay. And that manifests itself in a couple ways. One, there's nothing like coming to an event that we're at right now to, you know, press flesh with people,
for sure,
to shake hands and, you know, share viruses so that we can all, you know, go home and cough and be sick. That face-to-face connection is still tantamount. I think that we can't forget that real human connection.
Right.
The other part of physical is physical goods. And this is something I noticed. You know, we're here at a show as we're doing this interview, and there's a lot of vendors here, and vendors have booths. And at the booths, what do you find? Swag.
Yeah.
Everybody's got swag. And I look at the things, I look closely at swag to see what are people giving away with their brand on it, and how well does it represent their brand?
Sure.
I see such little creativity in what people are giving away. It's like they go to the swag store and they go, well, we can put our logo on that, or on that.
Balls and fidget spinners.
Balls and fidget spinners. Balls. Yeah, it's true. And you know, another, like 10 years ago, it was great that I picked up, you know, a thumb drive.
Right, right.
On it.
Yeah.
But I got a whole bag full of four, you know, 8 and 16 gig thumb drives with logos on them. And then they load them up with their own stuff. I'm like, I don't want that. That's the first thing.
I just want a big thumb drive.
I want a big thumb drive. And so creating something memorable, I have a rule about swag. There's three things that people should know.
Okay.
And anytime I produce something, I want to make sure that it has these three attributes. First of all, it needs to be something that people will take, you know, an interest in, or they'll open. Like,
right.
Let's say you send it to them. All right, you open it. There it is. What did I get? Another koozie? You know, throw it in the pile. Another bag? A crappy T-shirt? You know, when you look at the T-shirts that we buy, I'm going off.
Oh, no, yeah, okay.
When you look at the shirts we buy things that fit a certain style for us. And so many of these people, they stick their logo on the shirt, and then they put on the back this marketing message that you would never go out and wear it.
And it feels like a Brillo.
Yeah, it feels like Brillo. Like, if you're going to make a T-shirt,
right,
then make it something that people would actually want to wear. Otherwise, guess what? Your message isn't going to go out there.
Right.
So you have to want to open it or receive it. Then you have to use it, right? So just having something that you've gotten as a piece of swag. If you go home from an event and you dump all the swag out on your, you know, bed and go, eh, crap, drawer, blah, blah,
right,
blah, and there's nothing you actually, you know, use, then what good is it?
Right, it's not gonna.
You've spent money on something people are gonna throw in the trash.
Sure.
And the third thing is that you're gonna use it, right? Or keep it.
Right.
So open it, use it, and keep it. So, for example, years ago I wrote a book called Ka-Ching, and it was how to run an online business that pays and pays. And
okay.
I thought, you know, every time I make a sale, there was an offer I ran that every time a sale come in, a little wave would go off on my computer, right? Because it's like, oh,
I think Shopify has that now.
Do they?
Yeah, on the app.
I
hear the ka-ching.
I was doing that 12 years ago when I was selling products through my Outlook. It would trigger it. And I thought, oh, what if with ka-ching there was a green money button? So I went looking for one. There was no such thing. And
okay.
I was inspired by Staples. Easy button. That was easy, right?
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I still think they do that thing wrong. They have this button, and it's so branded to them. Why don't they glue one to the counter at every checkout so when the customer is done,
they
hit the button?
Yeah.
I'll tell you why they don't do it. Because the store employees would want to shoot themselves for the whole day.
Bing, 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 bing.
Right, that was easy.
Yeah.
That was easy. So I created a ka-ching button.
Sure.
You know, found a contact in China that can manufacture these things
that's
in bulk
awesome.
For me, and it's a green button. And whenever we send out the book to editors to review, we send this piece of swag with it.
Mm. Okay.
Got their attention. You can't have a ka-ching button without using it.
Right, sure.
And then they keep it. They put it on their desk. And it became so popular that we started making them available on Amazon. Now they sell every single day on Amazon, the ka-ching button. Every day, there was, you know, some days two buttons sell, the other day, 20 of them in one order. You know, people are buying these
things. Right.
And so when the point is, coming up with something memorable as a promotional tool, physical, is still a great way to market. But you have to be creative.
Sure.
You have to be willing to take chances and do something that others aren't doing. If you're looking at other people's successes and going, I want to replicate that.
Right.
You're already behind because they've already
ahead of you
done
that.
It.
Right. For sure.
Do something that they haven't done.
Yes. Awesome. I want to dive in a little bit about crypto real quick. Kind of see, you know, obviously you have a show, so you get to interview and find out what's happening out there, you know, and you're really understanding the marketplace based on all this cool technology and blockchain and really kind of where you think it's going, how people should start to position themselves with crypto or blockchain and all that. And I only know little bits, so I'm interested to hear your insights on it. And
I went down the crypto rabbit hole after hearing whispers from friends for a couple of years, and I didn't get it. I think I got lost on mining. They talk about mining Bitcoin, and I'm like, what is there, a little guy with a little pick going, you know, on your computer, and Bitcoin comes, I didn't
flying
get it.
Out.
And once I started trying to understand it, I realized that this rabbit hole is not only deep, really deep.
Sure.
But the deeper you go, it expands. There's so much to know. So I started a podcast in July with a marketing technologist friend, Travis Wright.
Okay.
And because we had been having these discussions, and we thought, why don't we just make these discussions public?
Sure.
And we'll put on a show. We'll call it the Bad Crypto Podcast because we're still learning and we don't know a lot of what we're talking about. And here's the thing. Up until that point, all the crypto shows had been highly techie. Mm. Above my head, other people's as well. And Travis and I came along, and we're just two dudes talking. and it related to a lot of people. And so the show's a, you know, a big hit, and top 200 of business, and awesome. So just doing really, really well. And we're having a blast. So my career's pivoted. And here's what people need to understand. The blockchain technology, it's not about Bitcoin.
Right,
forget Bitcoin
for sure.
And the prices of it. It's about the blockchain technology
right.
that you want to be understanding, because this is actually the most significant technological development of our lifetime.
Wow. Okay.
Blockchain is going to disrupt more industries than anything else. You know, we saw Netflix, you know, completely displace Blockbuster.
Sure.
We saw Amazon displace traditional retail,
right?
We've seen all this disruption. We saw the iPhone kick Nokia, you know, 10
right.
years ago, Nokia's phone was the biggest thing.
Sure.
And the iPhone came along and whoop,
it's like, what happened to everything?
Flip the switch and that was it. The story
right.
changed. Well, blockchain is getting ready to flip it on virtually every vertical.
Okay.
And this, you know, I was in the internet boom the first
right.
time. This to me feels like the web felt in 1996, 1997.
Okay.
The very early days of it. It
sure.
smells and feels the same.
Okay.
Only the disruption is going to be even bigger. And of course, the web is now ubiquitous.
Right.
You know, going on social and mobile is ubiquitous. And blockchain is going to become a part of every type of transaction, payment, contract,
okay.
everything we do. So I'm telling, as a futurist, I'm telling you that you don't necessarily have to invest in cryptocurrencies.
Okay.
But you do want to understand what blockchain is, how it works, and where the technology is going, because it will impact your life.
So, for our audience that has no clue what blockchain is, can you give them like a 30? Is there like a 30-second?
You know,
it is?
What's really funny is that although we've been doing this show, I'm still finding the right words to describe it, like on a second grade level.
And
I still get a little technical, but basically, blockchain is a technology that tracks. Without error,
sure.
every single transaction
okay.
that takes place, whether you know it's a payment or whether it's part of a contract, everything
okay.
is tracked on a distributed ledger that anybody can look at any time
and see where it's been
and see
right.
what you know exactly what's happened. So there's
okay.
no disputes about any type of transaction
sure.
taking place. You know, right now, your financial institution and you are the ones that keep a ledger of your banking,
right?
And when it comes down to it, you know, their ledger is probably more accurate than yours. But
right.
if you have a dispute, you have to go through this process. With blockchain, we'll just talk about banking. Every transaction is completely trackable and permanent on this ledger. And
okay.
It's not been hacked to date.
Sure.
When you hear about people getting hacked with crypto, it has nothing to do with the blockchain itself.
It's like where it's stored.
It has to do with,
yeah,
stupidity and human error and that
right.
type of thing, which we're all capable of, by the way. So, you know, in its simplest form, blockchain is a way of managing data
okay.
that is revolutionary.
And so, for people that want to get involved in blockchain, maybe not specifically investing and buying cryptocurrency like Bitcoin and all that, what is that best process? I mean, because there's so much, like you said, it's technical, there's so much
yeah.
information, they're listening to your podcast. And
yeah, well, that's what to do, listen to the Bad Crypto podcast.
I knew that was going to go, so I was just pre-framing.
It's like a spoonful, you know, sugar helps the medicine go
right.
down. And we just have a really good time. We laugh a lot. It's not unusual for us to break out in song, you know, in the middle of an episode, you know, because we get triggered by something that, you know, a 70s classic, if
sure.
somebody says, and we're you know, singing and having a good time. And we have a great community of people. They're very engaged in what we do. And we bring the thought leaders who are smarter than us
right.
to the show to talk about these technologies and make it easy for us to understand. Explain it to us. If you can explain it to us, then we can explain it to our
for
listeners.
Sure. And so, I guess, how do people get involved with blockchain technology? Like,
well, in which respect? There's so many.
That's what I mean. I guess, where do you start?
You start by learning.
Okay.
Right? Because we didn't start out to create a, you know, a top podcast.
Right.
We were having discussions, and it turns out that our discussions led to that.
Sure.
And so, just like any other type of entrepreneurial venture, you know, go where your instinct takes you. Go where your passion is and go
right.
where what's interesting. Just start going down the rabbit
okay.
hole. And I think as people start learning about it, then they these opportunities arise and they figure out. But there is going to be, and there already is, a huge need for marketing consultants
when it
comes to blockchain, because a lot of these companies that are launching their own tokens or coins,
sure,
they're highly technical, but they don't know anything about marketing.
Right.
So as we're talking marketing, the opportunity for people that are going to be able, that need to support these blockchain efforts, is going to multiply.
And I mean, just from my kind of diving into, they're also looking for that programmer aspect as well. There's like a huge deficit of programmers specifically.
Oh yeah, if you know how to code blockchains, then huge opportunity. Again, if you'll just correlate everything in the blockchain space with where the World Wide Web was in the very early years. If you get that, whether you understand what I'm talking about or not.
Right. Okay.
If you understand, oh yeah, I wish I had gotten involved in building websites in 1995 when Joel did, or even before 2000, any time in there, then you don't have to understand blockchain. Just understand that this is that all over again.
Cool. Awesome. Well, we got to wrap up here. Can you tell us where the best places to find you, the Bad Crypto Podcast, and...
Yeah, badcryptopodcast.com.
Okay.
It's a website, and it's everywhere. Spotify, iHeartRadio, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, blah, blah, blah. And then I'm at Joel Com everywhere, Twitter,
everywhere,
Facebook, all the places.
That's how I found you.
Yeah. Stalker.
Well, I really appreciate you coming, spending your time today on Making Bank. It was an honor to kind of really dive in and dig out some of the marketing strategies, getting some basics on crypto, so hopefully our audience will start to really think about it. Maybe you don't have to take action today, but start thinking about it, looking at it, and see where you might fit in with this. And just be able to share your insights with us and our audience. So
yeah,
I appreciate
pleasure.
Your time today.
You
Thanks
bet.
For coming on.
Stay bad.
I am Josh Felber. You've been watching Making Bank. Get out and be extraordinary.
Thank you for listening to Making Bank. If you have enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. And sharing is caring. Follow Josh Felber on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram for more. You can also listen to Making Bank on Amazon Alexa, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and watch on Apple TV, SuccessThinkers Network, Amazon Fire, and YouTube.